I want to start with a question this morning. Start with a question that I'd like to ask every single person. And it comes from the third epistle of John there, verse 2, where it says John was talking to a man named Gaius, and he says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Here's a question I'd like to ask as we start this morning. Is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? No greater question. A personal question and a pointed question. It drives right through all the things that we associate with our lives, and it gets to the very center of our being. Because you are your soul. I mean, you know, we sometimes look at each other and we say, well, yeah, I know that person. I can see them. But you can see sort of the shell. You know, I told you that story before about a mother and a daughter standing at the casket of their husband and father. And the mother was consoling the daughter and said, "Honey, don't cry. This is just the shell. The nut's gone to heaven." And it's a little humorous, but it tells... Yeah, some of you are saying, I'm going to say that when my husband dies. But it makes the point that what we really are is our soul. And the question, how is your soul? Is it well with your soul? Cuts through all the external things that we surround our life with and gets to the very center of our being. It's, you know, you can avoid some questions. You can put them aside. You cannot think about them. You can refuse to answer them. But this question, is it well with your soul, demands an answer. I'm not asking you, is it well with your health? I'm not asking you, is it well with your financial affairs? I'm not asking you if it's well with all the relationships in your life. I'm asking you the question, is it well with your soul? Doesn't matter if you've attended church from the time you were a little boy all your life. Doesn't matter if this is your first time that you've ever been inside of a church. I'm not asking you if you go to church or not. I'm not asking you if you're well received in the community or not. I'm not asking you if you have a good job, have a big bank account, drive a nice car, live in a nice house. What I'm asking you this morning is to search your inner being, look at your soul, and answer the question, is it well with your soul? And it's a question you need to answer truthfully. You see, this question is not between me and you. This question is not between you and your Sunday school teacher. This question is not between you and your parents or you and your grandparents. This is a question that's between you and God. And I want to tell you something. God already knows the answer. He already knows the answer. The real question is this morning, do you? Is it well with your soul? You see, you can fool me. And you can fool your Sunday school teacher. And you can fool your parents and your grandparents. I mean, we may look at you and we may come to the conclusion based on what we see that, yeah, it is well with your soul. But only you and God. That question is between you and God as to what the truth is. Is it well with your soul? I want to give you some help as you answer that question this morning. Your soul, it's not well with your soul if you've rejected Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 3, "He that believeth not is condemned already." And if you've rejected the truth about Jesus, it is not well with your soul this morning. If you don't believe that He is the Son of God, if you don't believe that He left heaven and came to earth and lived a perfect life and then went to Calvary to die for my sin and to die for your sin, if you've never received Him and taken that peace with God that He offers, if you've rejected it, and by the way, rejecting it is not what we might think when we think of the word reject. You can reject it by ignoring it. You can reject it by putting it aside. You reject it by not believing it. If you haven't believed that Jesus is the Son of God and that He offers salvation to every person, and if you haven't received that for yourself, I'm going to help you this morning. It is not well with your soul. It's not well with your soul this morning if you're living in sin. I'm not talking about the one-time mistake that we make. I'm talking about the sin that we live in, the sin that we harbor, the sin that we keep as a Christian on purpose, the sins in our life that the Holy Spirit has come and convicted us about. And we know, because the Holy Spirit works in our life, that they're wrong, and yet we hang on to them and commit them over and over and over. Paul asked the question in Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He was asking the question, hey, we're forgiven by God's grace. Should we just continue in sin so that we can get more of God's grace, so God has more opportunity to show His grace to us? And Paul answered that question when he said, God forbid. He said, no, no, no. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You may be saved, and you may be on your way to heaven, and your sins may be paid for, but if there's still sins that we hang on to, then it's not well with our soul this morning. And then, if you don't have the Holy Spirit power in your life, it's not well with your soul. Saved? Yes. Clean life? Most of the time. But have you followed the prescription in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Listen to what he says next, which is your reasonable service. After everything that Christ has done for us, it's only reasonable that we present our bodies a living sacrifice and let the Holy Spirit use us to do God's work. In Luke chapter 16, we read the story of a rich man and a poor man. We don't know the rich man's name, but we know the poor man was named Lazarus. They both died. Though rich, it was not well with the rich man's soul, because he went to hell. Though poor and a beggar, it was well with Lazarus' soul, because he went to heaven. It was not well with the souls of Herod, Felix, the rich young ruler. But it was well with the soul of that publican that stood in the corner of the temple, too ashamed to even lift his head. He stood in the corner with his head bowed and prayed that prayer that we read in the scripture, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. It was well with his soul. It was not well with the soul of the priest and the religious community that condemned Jesus to die, but it was well with the soul of that thief that hung beside him when he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There's three times in every person's life that you ought to be able to answer this question with a yes. Is it well with your soul? And not just yes, but a resounding yes. Not just a resounding yes, but a yes that you can answer yes and know for sure that you're given the right answer. Is it well with your soul? Number one, you need to be able to answer that question yes right now. Right now. Time is short. David said in the Psalms, life is like a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. He said in another psalm, there's just a step between my life and my death. If you're going to accept Christ, if you're going to believe in Him, you need to do it today. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. In fact, I was thinking about it this morning, now is the only time that you can receive Christ. You can't do it yesterday. All those opportunities are gone. You can't do it tomorrow because those opportunities might not never come. If you're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the only time that you have to do it is today. The only time that you have to do it is now. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In that same passage of Scripture there in Romans, chapter 10, isn't it, Dick? Romans chapter 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're not saved this morning, it's not well with your soul. You need to be able to answer that question right now. Yes, God, it is well with my soul. You can make it well with your soul by doing exactly what those verses say. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe that He did leave heaven and He came to earth to live among men. You believe that He lived a perfect life. You believe He went to the cross as God's sacrificial Passover lamb without any blemish. And when He died on that cross, He died for your sin and He died for my sin. And this morning, if it's not well with your soul because you're not saved, then you need to do exactly what these verses say. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the Bible says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Would you do that this morning? It's not well with your soul if you don't know Jesus. Your soul needs to be well today, now. If you're going to live for Him, hey Christian, let me talk to you, talk to us for a minute. If we're going to live for Him, if we're going to influence others for Him, today is the only day that we have to do that. Don't harbor that secret favorite sin and say, well, I'll get rid of it tomorrow, or I'll get rid of it next week. What about getting rid of it today? What about turning it over to God today? What about saying to the Holy Spirit today, I'm yours. I surrender my body to you. I want you to use my body, my mind, my hands, my feet. I want you to use them to bring other people to Christ. You see, when we harbor sin in our life, when we try to operate without the Holy Spirit's power, we can't do what God has left us and has called us to do. And we need to get rid of, and I'm not saying you can be perfect this morning. We can't be perfect. I mean, we're still sinners. We're saved by grace. And all our sins have been forgiven. But look, we have a hard time. God has a hard time forgiving those sins that we do over and over and over and over and over. When we say, 1 John says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, you shouldn't be going back to the well for the same sin every time. That's not what that verse means. When it says we ought to confess our sins, part of that confession is, Lord, help me not to do it anymore. Help me free my life from this sin. Give me the power to do that. And the Holy Spirit will, if we let Him. Today is the day that Jesus calls us and says, go work today in my vineyard. Today is the day that the fields are white unto harvest. Today is the day if you're going to do anything for God, you need to do it today. You can't do it yesterday. Those opportunities are gone. You can't do it tomorrow. You may never get an opportunity tomorrow. The only day that we have to live for Christ is today. Is it well with your soul? You need to be able to answer that question today. Yes. Yes. Is it well with your soul? You need to be able to answer that question, yes, at the grave. When it comes time to die. When we face the time of our death, there's no human being that can help us. Dad, mom, brother, sister, friend, preacher. Too late. Wealth won't matter. Position won't matter. Education won't matter. The only thing that matters when you come to that time of death is how you're able to answer this question. Is it well with your soul? You see, death is a doorway. And I won't take the time, but you're going to go through one of two doorways. You're going to go through that one, or you're going to go through that one. And once you go through the doorway, you're going to stay where that doorway leads forever. Forever. Bill's been working on these two rooms. He's gone in and out of them a lot of times. He goes in. Praise the Lord, so far he's come out. I hope that keeps happening. But the doorways that we go through when we die is where we're going to stay forever. There's a doorway that leads to heaven. Be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. The ones that go through that doorway are the ones at death that can answer the question, it is well with my soul. But those that can't answer that question, yes, are going to go through the other doorway into hell. when the rich man died in Luke chapter 16, the Bible says he lifted up his eyes from hell. He said, would you send Lazarus, just have him dip the tip of his finger in water and come touch the end of my tongue because I'm tormented in these flames. I believe in a literal hell. I believe there's a hell with fire. I believe that it's a bottomless pit where the worm dieth not, where Satan and all his angels, that's what it was prepared for. And when we, at death, if we can't say it is well with my soul, we'll go through the doorway into hell. And I got some bad news for you. There's no way out. It's not a purgatory where you're purged from your sins and come out later. It's not some place where somebody else can pray you out. It's not some place where somebody can buy you out. Once you enter the doorway of hell, once you're cast into that bottomless pit, you're there for all eternity. And the only way to avoid it is to be able to answer the question at death, how's your soul, to be able to say, it's well. It's well. And then the third place that everybody needs to be able to answer this question, how's your soul, is at the judgment. The Bible talks about two judgments. There's going to be a great white throne judgment for all those who have rejected Christ. And all the opportunities that they've had, all the times they've heard the gospel, all the times that the Sunday school teachers taught them a lesson and told them about Jesus and asked them to receive Christ, all the sermons that they've heard, all the tracts that they've read, all the TV evangelists and on the radio, all the times that they've heard the gospel, all the times that they've been brought face to face with Christ, and all the times that they've said, no, later, I'll consider it another time. I'll do it when it's more convenient. I'll do it when I feel better. I'll do it when somebody's not here or when somebody's here. All those times will come right before them again, and they'll be brought face to face with all the times they've rejected Christ. And they'll hear Jesus say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And that's what's going to happen at judgment. If it's not well with your soul, there's going to be a second judgment. Judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be for every Christian. We won't be judged for our sins. They're under the blood. And as Brother Forrest sang a moment ago, the blood never, ever loses its power. I won't stand before God to be judged for my sins. I'll stand before God to be judged for my obedience. As a child of his. Did I do what he told me to do? Did I do what he told me to do? Not good English, but good theology. Was I obedient? Did I live up to the potential that he gave me? Did I take advantage of the opportunities that he provided? Did I reach the people that he wanted me to reach? And when I stand before that judgment seat of Christ as a Christian, not to be judged for my sins, but to be judged by my Savior, I want to be able to say, it is well with my soul. And I want to be able to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. How's your soul this morning? Is it well with your soul? About 150 years ago, there was a businessman by the name of Philip Bliss. He was taking his family on a vacation to Europe. It was going to be a combination vacation and business trip. Of course, that was long before the invention of airplanes, and so the only way they had to go was by ship. They were going to travel together, he and his wife and two daughters. The day before they were to depart, something came up, and Mr. Bliss had to delay his trip by a couple of days. He told his wife and two daughters, well, you go on ahead, and I'll be there in a couple of days, and then we'll get hooked up and take care of my business, and then we'll have a vacation. On the voyage that his wife and two daughters were on, a terrible storm came up and their ship was wrecked. His wife was rescued, but his two young daughters were lost at sea. When he boarded a ship 2 days later to make his way to be reunited with his wife, he asked the captain of his ship, he said, when we come to the spot, when we come to the coordinates, latitude and longitude of where the ship was wrecked, could you let me know? Could you send a word? And we reached about the spot where my two daughters were drowned. Could you just send word? When they reached that spot, the captain sent one of the mates down to tell Mr. Bliss that they were about at the spot where his two daughters died. He went up on deck. He stood at the rail. He looked at the watery grave of his two young daughters, and he wrote these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. And listen to this one. This is my favorite one of all four verses. "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. It is well with my soul." Is it well with your soul this morning? It's not if you've rejected Christ. You can change that. Today's the day of salvation. It's not if you're living in sin or if you're living apart from the Holy Spirit power. You can change that today too. Every single person ought to know today, let alone when you come to your death, let alone when you stand before the judgment seat. Every single person ought to know today that it's well with your soul. Make it that way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. I pray today for every soul that's here. I pray today, Father, that it's well with every soul. If there's one here that doesn't know Christ, if there's a Christian here who's not being obedient, we're keeping some sin in our life, or we're failing to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd make yourself known to us today. You'd instruct us again. You'd encourage us again. And we'd, this morning, make some decisions to receive Christ. We'd make some decisions to live for him. Speak to every heart. Speak to every mind. Help us to be obedient to what you tell us to do. And Father, I ask you to bless the invitation. Help us to put aside all the things that might be on our hearts and our minds and to listen as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Be obedient to him. But in Christ's name we pray. Amen.